Welcome to The Mildly Interesting with Oliver Wilson, the official bedtime podcast of former insomniacs. Tomorrow is Monday, November 8th, Cappuccino Day. The name cappuccino originally came from the Capuchin Friars, a minor order of Franciscan friars within the Catholic Church, headquartered in Rome, Italy. The cappuccino coffee drink that everyone knows today was invented in Italy during the 1900s after the invention of the espresso machine gained popularity. After World War II, the espresso machine improved, and so was the process of making cappuccino and thus spreading its popularity around the world. You may love a cappuccino, but have you ever wondered about its history? Well, I have. And I think you might just find it mildly interesting. Subscribe to The Mildly Interesting on Apple Podcast, Spotify, or wherever fine podcasts are available. We'll be right back. A cappuccino is an espresso-based coffee drink in Austria, with later development taking place in Italy, and is prepared with steamed milk foam, microfoam. Variations of the drink involve using cream instead of milk, using non-dairy milk substitutes, and flavoring with cinnamon or chocolate powder. It is typically smaller in volume than a cafe latte, with a thicker layer of microfoam. The name comes from the Capuchin Friars, referring to the color of their habits, and in this context, referring to the color of the beverage when milk is added in small portions to dark, brewed coffee, today mostly espresso. The physical appearance of a modern cappuccino with espresso crema and steamed milk results from a long evolution of the drink. The Viennese bestowed the name cappuccina, possibly in the 18th century, on a version that included whipped cream and spices of unknown origin. The Italian cappuccino was unknown outside Italy until the 1930s and seems to be born out of Viennese-style cafes in Trieste and other Italian areas in Austria-Hungary through the cappuccina coffee in the early 20th century. The drink spread from Trieste, the leading coffee port in Central Europe, throughout Italy, especially after World War I and later worldwide, and can be found at several establishments. Outside of Italy, cappuccino is a coffee drink that today is typically composed of a single espresso shot and hot milk, with the surface topped with foamed milk. Cappuccinos are most often prepared with an espresso machine. The espresso is poured into the bottom of the cup, followed by a similar amount of hot milk, prepared by heating and texturing the milk using the espresso machine steam wand. The top third of the drink consists of milk foam. This foam can be decorated with artistic drawings made with the same milk, called latte art. In a traditional cappuccino, as served in Europe and artisan coffee houses in the United States, espresso and milk foam make up between approximately 150 and 180 milliliters, 5 and 6 imp fluid ounce, 5 and 6 US fluid ounces. Commercial coffee restaurant chains in the US often serve the cappuccino as a 360 milliliters, 13 imp fluid ounce, 12 US fluid ounces, drink or more extensive. In Italy, a cappuccino consists of 25 milliliters, 1 imp fluid ounce, 1 US fluid ounce, of espresso. The rest of the cup is filled with equal parts of milk and foam. Outside of Italy, the ratios of espresso, milk, and foam typically equal 1/3 each. Cappuccino is traditionally small, 180 milliliters maximum, with a thick layer of foam, while latte traditionally is more enormous, 200 to 300 milliliters. Café latte is often served in a large glass, cappuccino mainly in a 150 to 180 milliliters cup with a handle. Cappuccino traditionally has a layer of textured milk microfoam exceeding 1 cm in thickness. Microfoam is frothed/steamed milk in which the bubbles are so tiny and so numerous that they are not seen, but it makes the milk lighter and thicker. As a result, the microfoam will remain partly on top of the mug when the espresso is poured incorrectly and mix well with the rest of the cappuccino. The World Barista Championships have been arranged annually since 2000. During the competition, the competing barista must produce, for 4 sensory judges, among other drinks, 4 cappuccinos, defined in WBC rules and regulations as a coffee and milk beverage that should produce a harmonious balance of rich, sweet milk and espresso. The cappuccino is prepared with 1 single shot of espresso, textured milk and foam. A minimum of 1 centimeter of foam depth. A cappuccino is a beverage between 150 milliliters and 180 milliliters in total volume. Cappuccino comes from Latin caputium, later borrowed in German Austrian and modified into cappuccina. It is the diminutive form of cappuccio in Italian, meaning hood or something that covers the head. Thus cappuccino literally means small capuchin. The coffee beverage has its name not from the hood but from the color of the hooded robes worn by monks and nuns of the Capuchin order. This color is quite distinctive, and capuchin was a standard description of the color red-brown in 17th century Europe. The Capuchin monks chose the particular design of their order's robes both in color and shape of the hood back in the 16th century, inspired by Francis of Assisi's preserved 13th century vestments. The long and pointed hood was characteristic and soon gave the brothers the nickname Capuchins, hood wearing. It was, however, the choice of red-brown as the order's vestment color that, as early as the 17th century, saw Capuchin also used as a term for a specific color. While Francis of Assisi humbly used uncolored and unbleached wool for his robes, the Capuchins colored their vestments to differ from Augustinians, Benedictines, Franciscans, and other orders. The word cappuccino, in its Italian form, was not known in Italian writings until the 20th century, but the German language cappuccino is mentioned as a coffee beverage in the 18th century in Austria and is described as coffee with sugar, egg yolks and cream, in dictionary entries from 1800 onwards. Cappuccino was by the First World War a standard coffee drink in cafes in the parts of northern Italy, which still belonged to Austria. The use of fresh milk in coffee in cafes and restaurants is a newer phenomenon, from the 20th century, introduced when refrigeration became common. The use of full cream is known much further back in time, but not in use as whipped cream, chantilly, as this was a product more easily stored and frequently used also in cooking and baking. Thus, a cappuccino was prepared with a minimal amount of cream to get the cappuccino color. Today, cappuccino is still served in Viennese traditional cafes, comprising still black coffee with only a few drops of cream, in some establishments developed into a dollop of whipped cream. The consumption of coffee in Europe was initially based on the traditional Ottoman preparation of the drink, by bringing to boil the mixture of coffee and water together, sometimes adding sugar. The British seem to have started filtering and steeping coffee already in the second part of the 18th century, and France and continental Europe followed suit. By the 19th century, coffee was brewed in different devices designed for both home and public cafes. Adding milk to coffee was mentioned by Europeans already in the 1700s and sometimes advised. Cappuccino originated as the coffee beverage Cappuccina in the Viennese coffee houses in the 1700s, at the same time as the counterpart coffee beverage named Franciscana. Cappuccina shows up on coffee house menus all over the Habsburg monarchy around this time and is in 1805 described in a Wörterbuch, dictionary, as coffee with cream and sugar, although it does not say how it is composed. Cappuccina is mentioned again in writings in the 1850s, described as coffee with cream, spices and sugar. Around the same time, the coffee beverage mélange is mentioned in writings, explained as a blend of coffee and milk, presumably similar to the modern-day café latte or Wiener mélange. Other coffees containing cream surfaced in Vienna and outside Austria. These are Viennese coffee or café viennois, coffee with whipped cream. Predecessors of Irish coffee, sweetened coffee with different alcohols, topped with whipped cream also spread out from Vienna. Cappuccina took its name from the color of coffee with a few drops of cream, so nicknamed because the Capuchin monks in Vienna and elsewhere wore vestments with this color. Another famous coffee was Franciscana, with more cream, referring to the somewhat lighter brown color of the monks' robes of the Franciscan order. Cappuccina coffee spread throughout Central Europe and thus also in the Italian-speaking parts of the Habsburg monarchy. The main port of the empire, the city of Trieste, already had many Viennese coffee houses back then. As we write today, in Italian, cappuccino was first mentioned in northern Italy in the 1930s, and photographs from that time depict the drink resembling Viennese, a coffee topped with whipped cream sprinkled with cinnamon or chocolate. The Italian cappuccino evolved and developed in the following decades. The steamed milk atop is a later addition, and in the US, a slight misunderstanding has led to the naming of this cap of milk foam monk's head, although it originally had nothing to do with the name of the beverage. Although coffee was brewed differently all over Europe after the Second World War, in Italy, espresso machines became widespread only during the 1950s, and cappuccino was redefined, now made from espresso and frothed milk, although far from the quality of microfoam steamed milk today. As the espresso machines improved, so did the dosing of coffee and the heating of the milk. Outside Italy, cappuccino spread but was generally made from dark coffee with whipped cream, as it still was in large parts of Europe even in 2014. Cappuccino remained unchanged on the Austrian coffee menu, even in Trieste, which by 1920 belonged to Italy, and in Bratislava, Budapest, Prague, and other cities of the former empire. Espresso machines were introduced at the beginning of the 20th century, after Luigi Bezzera of Milan filed the first patent in 1901, although the first generations of machines certainly did not make espresso the way we define it today. Coffee making in cafes changed in the first decades of the 20th century. These first machines made it possible to serve coffee espresso specifically to each customer. The cups were still the same size, and the dose of beans was ground coarse as before. The too high temperature of the boilers scalded the coffee, and several attempts at improving this came in the years after the First World War. After World War II, the Italians launched the Age of Crema, as the new coffee machines could create a higher pressure, leading to a finer grind and the now classic Crema. The first small cups appeared in the 1950s, and the machines could by then also heat milk. Thus, the modern cappuccino was born. In Vienna, espresso bars were introduced in the 1950s, leading to both the cappuccina and the newborn Italian cappuccinos being served as two different beverages alongside each other. In the United Kingdom, espresso coffee initially gained popularity in the form of the cappuccino, influenced by the British custom of drinking coffee with milk, the desire for a longer drink to preserve the cafe as a destination, and the exotic texture of the beverage. In the United States, cappuccinos spread alongside espresso in Italian-American neighborhoods, such as Boston's North End, New York's Little Italy, and San Francisco's North Beach. New York City's Café Reggio, founded 1927, claims to have introduced cappuccino to the United States, while San Francisco's Café Trieste, founded 1956, claims to have introduced it to the West Coast. The earlier Tosca Café in San Francisco, founded 1919, served a cappuccino earlier, but this was without coffee, and instead consisted of chocolate, steamed milk, and brandy. As cappuccino is defined today, in addition to a single shot of espresso, the most critical factors in preparing a cappuccino are the texture and temperature of the milk. When a barista steams the milk for a cappuccino, microfoam is created by introducing very tiny air bubbles into the milk, giving the milk a velvety texture. The traditional cappuccino consists of a single espresso, on which the barista pours the hot foamed milk, resulting in a 2 cm, 3 quarters in, thick milk foam on top. Variations could be made by adding another shot of espresso, resulting in a double cappuccino. Attaining the correct foam ratio requires close attention while steaming the milk, thus making the cappuccino one of the most difficult espresso-based beverages to make correctly. A skilled barista may obtain artistic shapes, latte art, while pouring the milk on the top of the espresso coffee. Cappuccino was traditionally a taste primarily appreciated in Europe, Australia, South America, and North America. By the mid-1990s, cappuccino was made more available to North Americans as upscale coffee houses sprang up. In Italy and continental Europe, cappuccino is traditionally consumed in the morning, usually as part of breakfast, often with pastry. Italians generally do not drink cappuccino with meals other than breakfast, although they sometimes drink espresso after lunch or dinner. In Italy, cappuccino is only consumed up to 11 a.m. since cappuccinos are milk-based and considered too heavy to drink later in the day. Instead, espresso is usually ordered after a meal because the lack of milk aids in digestion. In North America, cappuccinos have become popular concurrent with the boom in the American coffee industry through the late 1990s and early 2000s, especially in the urban Pacific Northwest. Cappuccino is traditionally served in 150 to 180 milliliters, 5 to 6 imp fluid ounce, 5 to 6 US fluid ounces cups. By the start of the 21st century, a modified shortcut version was being served by fast food chains in servings up to 600 milliliters, 21 imp fluid ounce, 20 US fluid ounces. Although size varies most among different cappuccinos, there are two main ways of preparing cappuccino: the traditional or classical way with a cap of milk foam, the other is the latte art way. The former follows the traditional idea of the cappuccino being prepared with 1/3 espresso, 1/3 steamed milk, and 1/3 milk foam. The latter follows the same recipe but is served more often smaller cups, and the textured milk is gently poured in and finished with a pattern in the surface crema. The illustrations in this article show the preparation methods. Cappuccino Freddo is the cold version of a cappuccino, and the drink usually has a small amount of cold frothed milk atop it. The drink is available in Greece, Cyprus, and parts of Italy. In Rome, coffee bars have the drink already prepared and chilled. In cities of northern Italy like Milan, the cappuccino freddo is less common. Instead, gelato de bere, a thick blend of gelato and espresso, or shakerato, espresso and ice shaken together, are more popular. The term has also spread throughout the Mediterranean, where foam is added to the drink just before serving, often varying from the Italian original. A caffè freddo or freddo espresso is a cold version of espresso, without milk. In North America, the terms cappuccino freddo or iced cappuccino, if offered, may be somewhat of a misnomer if the characteristic frothed milk is omitted in the iced variation. For example, at Starbucks, without the frothed milk, the drink is called an iced latte. In Greece and Cyprus, a cold cappuccino is widely known as freddo cappuccino instead of cappuccino freddo. Despite its Italian name, the drink both tastes and is prepared differently from its Italian counterpart, and it is uncommon in Italy and outside Greece. The freddo cappuccino is topped with a cold milk-based foam known as Afragala, Greek, Alpha Phiro Gamma Alpha Lambda Alpha, which is created using cold milk and an electric frother. These frothers are commonplace in Greek coffee shops due to their usage during the preparation of frappe coffee. The foam is then added to espresso poured over ice. The freddo espresso was conceived in Greece in 1991 and is in higher demand during summer. Outside Greece and Cyprus, freddo cappuccino or cappuccino freddo is mainly found in coffee shops and delis catering to the Greek expat community. In 2017, Starbucks added the cappuccino freddo to brunch menus in Europe. In Canada, the Tim Hortons coffee chain sells iced coffee cappuccino under the brand name Iced Caps. The coffee drink mix comes to the stores as a thick black syrup mixed at 3 parts water to 1 part syrup in a slurpee machine. The frozen coffee drink is then blended with cream at the time of service, or blended with milk or chocolate milk upon customer request. The ice cap can also be prepared as a supreme, including a flavor shot, whipped topping, and caramel or chocolate syrup. The chain also carries iced coffee on both its Canadian and US menus. When we return, Viennese Coffee House. The Viennese Coffee House is a typical institution of Vienna that played an essential part in shaping Viennese culture. Since October 2011, the Viennese Coffee House culture has been listed as intangible cultural heritage in the Austrian Inventory of the National Agency for the Intangible Cultural Heritage, a part of UNESCO. The Viennese Coffee House is described in this inventory as a place where time and space are consumed, but only the coffee is found on the bill. The social practices, the rituals, the elegance create the particular atmosphere of the Viennese cafe. Coffee houses entice with a wide variety of coffee drinks, international newspapers, and pastry creations. Typical for Viennese coffee houses are marble tabletops, tonnet chairs, newspaper tables, and interior design details in historicism. The Austrian writer Stefan Zweig described the Viennese coffee house as an institution of a particular kind, actually a sort of democratic club, open to everyone for the price of a cheap cup of coffee, where every guest can sit for hours with this little offering, to talk, write, play cards, receive post, and above all consume an unlimited number of newspapers and journals. Zweig, in fact, attributed an excellent measure of Vienna's cosmopolitan air to the rich daily diet of current and international information offered in the coffee houses. In many classic cafes, for example, Café Central and Café Pruckl, piano music is played in the evening, and social events like literary readings are held. In warmer months, Customers can often sit outside in a Skanegarten. Almost all coffee houses provide small food dishes like sausages and desserts, cakes and tarts, like Apfelstrudel, Milleramstrudel, Punschgrapfen, and Linsertorte. Unlike some other cafe traditions around the world, it is normal for a customer to linger alone for hours and study the omnipresent newspaper. Along with coffee, the waiter will serve an obligatory glass of cold tap water and, during an extended stay, will often bring additional water unrequested, with the idea to serve the guest with an exemplary sense of attention. In the late 19th and early 20th century, leading writers became attached to the atmosphere of Viennese cafes and were frequently seen to meet, exchange, and even write there. Literature composed in cafes is commonly referred to as coffeehouse literature, the writers thereof as coffeehouse poets. The famous journal Die Fackel, The Torch, by Karl Kraus is said to have been written in cafes to a large extent. Other coffeehouse poets include Arthur Schnitzler, Alfred Polgar, Friedrich Thorberg, and Egon Erwin Kisch. Famous writer and poet Peter Altenberg even had his mail delivered to his favorite café, the Café Central. According to the Viennese model, there were many coffee houses in Prague, Budapest, Krakow, Trieste, and Lviv, and other cities of the Austro-Hungarian Empire. The Viennese coffee house culture then spread throughout Central Europe and created a unique multicultural climate. Because here writers, artists, musicians, intellectuals, bon vivant, and their financiers met. The Habsburg coffee houses were then primarily deprived of their cultural base by the Holocaust and the expulsions of National Socialism and the economic prerequisites by communism. This unique atmosphere was only able to persist in Vienna and in a few other places. In particular, in Trieste, which has been forgotten for a long time since 1918 and the many upheavals, there are still many of the former Viennese coffee houses, Café Tomaseo, Café San Marco, Café di Specchi, Café Tergestio, Café Stella Polare, in which the former lifestyle has been preserved by the locals. Legend has it that soldiers of the Polish Habsburg army while liberating Vienna from the Second Turkish Siege in 1683, found several sacks with strange beans that they initially thought were camel feed and wanted to burn. The Polish King Jan III Sobieski granted the sacks to Jerzy Franciszek Kuczewski, who started the first coffee house. This story was published by the Catholic priest Gottfried Ulick in 1783 in his History of the Second Turkish Siege, and he took some liberties. In reality, Kulczewski's coffee house missed being the first by more than a year. A more factual account has been reported by Karl Tepley. After some experimentation, the legend goes on, Kulczewski added some sugar and milk, and the Viennese coffee tradition was born. This achievement has been recognized in many modern Viennese coffee houses by hanging a picture of Kulczewski in the window. Another account is that Kulczewski, having spent 2 years in Ottoman captivity, knew perfectly well what coffee really was and tricked his superiors into granting him the beans that were considered worthless. According to recent research, Vienna's first coffee house was opened by an Armenian businessman named Johannes Diodato in 1685. 15 years later, 4 Greek-owned coffee houses had the privilege to serve coffee. The new drink was well received, and coffee houses began to pop up rapidly. The various drinks had no names in the early period, and customers would select the mixtures from a color-shaded chart. The heyday of the coffee house was the turn of the 19th century when writers like Peter Altenberg, Alfred Polgar, Egon Friedel, Karl Kraus, Hermann Brock, and Friedrich Thorberg made them their preferred place of work and pleasure. Many famous artists, scientists, and politicians of the period, such as Arthur Schnitzler, Stefan Zweig, Egon Schiele, Gustav Klimt, Adolf Loos, Theodore Herzl, Alfred Adler, and even Leon Trotsky, were constant coffeehouse patrons. In the 1950s, the period of coffeehouse death began, as many famous Viennese coffeehouses had to close. This was due to the popularity of television, and the appearance of modern espresso bars. Nevertheless, many of these classic Viennese coffee houses still exist. A renewed interest in their tradition and tourism has prompted a comeback. Some relatively modern Viennese coffee houses have emerged in North America, such as Julius Meinl Chicago and Café House de Châtillon in the Greater Seattle area and Café Sabarsky in Manhattan. In Jerusalem, there is a Viennese coffee house in the Austrian Hospice.